We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Are you too sensitive? Are you too sensitive? And if it doesn't touch you directly, it touches us in the sense that all of us have known people who have quit the church because somebody has hurt their feelings. I have known several through the years. You know, sometimes a person may have done it intentionally, and sometimes that has hurt their feelings, and sometimes a person may not even be aware of the fact that they did it. But still, some people quit the church because of hurt feelings. And then you have other people who still attend, but they don't participate. They're no longer active in the Lord's church. And they feel justified for their actions because their feelings have been wounded. Brethren, surely a person such as this is being overly sensitive. When a person will place his soul in danger of hell because of hurt feelings, surely he is too sensitive. But that is a condition of all people who quit the church for reasons such as these. Now, the first point I want to deal with tonight is going to talk about some reasons that people get offended and quit the church. And when you hear some of these, you're going to think, oh, that's silly. These are not real reasons people quit the church, and I wish that were true. But these are real reasons. Sometimes people may get offended because their name was omitted from the announcements. Maybe the person had a stay in the hospital, and perhaps no one called them. Perhaps no one went to visit them, and they will come back and they are so offended they will just quit the church because of it. Now again, I know you're thinking, surely people don't do that. That is ridiculous. Now, I don't believe anybody does that. I wish that were the case, but people do that. When I was preaching in North Carolina, I got a call on the phone one day. I think I'd been on vacation for a week, and we got back and the telephone rang and I answered it. And it was a lady in the congregation. Her father had been in the hospital, and no one went to visit him. And she started letting me have it. I mean, she just blasted me for this. Now, I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for myself. And to my knowledge, I'm not even sure if I was aware of it. I'd been in vacation, just got back in town. But she was furious about this. And sometimes people get mad and quit the church for reasons like this. Sometimes people will quit the church because they'll say, well, the preacher didn't speak to me. The preacher didn't shake my hand. I had a lady one time when I was preaching in Alabama, walked out one particular morning, and I'd been preaching there a little less than a year, and I walked up and introduced myself to her, and I said, are you a visitor? Well, she got so furious with me, she said, I'll have you know I am a member here and have been for years. But she was so rare in her attendance that I had been there a year and I didn't even know who she was. I thought she was a visitor. And yet she became highly offended. And I think if memory serves me correctly, one of her family members told me later on, well, you know, she's just never coming back because of that. And I just thought, well, we're sure going to miss her. I mean, she hadn't even been here. We didn't even know that she was a member. Sometimes people get mad because the sermon hurts their feelings. You know, sometimes I'll preach a sermon and people will walk out and they will say, you stepped on my toes during that sermon. And I've heard preachers respond by saying, well, that's a shame. I wasn't aiming at your toes. I was aiming at your heart. And I think that's a good response. You know, I appreciate when I hear a sermon that convicts me in some way. And sometimes that's good for us to hear things that convict us. If we have areas of our lives in which we need work, in which we need to improve as Christians, rather than getting mad and getting offended and quitting the church because of it, we ought to be thankful that there is someone who is willing to teach us the truth and who cares enough about God's Word and about my soul that they're going to teach me that message. Rather than being something that ought to make me leave, that ought to make me stay. Because I'm thinking, here's a person who's looking out for the well-being of my spirituality. Sometimes people get mad because, now you're going to think this is ridiculous, but we were talking to some folks about this the other night, kind of laughing about it. Sometimes people get very territorial about their seat in the church building. If you take somebody's seat or you take their parking space, people will get their pride hurt because of that. I remember in North Carolina, I had a parking space I always parked in. That was a preacher parking space. And somebody, I got there one, I parked there and an elder parked next to me, and we always parked there. We drove up one night and somebody was in my parking space. And for just a minute, it kind of upset me. And then I thought, you know, that's ridiculous. My name's not on my parking. That's not my parking. But you know, sometimes people don't recognize that. And they get upset about that. And again, you're thinking, that's ridiculous, but people get upset over things like that. I was in another state, and we had a person leave the congregation because one of the elders in the church was teasing with him in a friendly way. He was teasing about his last name, and he made a joke about it. And this man got furious, and he left that congregation, and I don't know if he ever set foot in those doors for the next 3 years. People get upset, and they quit the church. Brethren, may I suggest to you very seriously that when a person gets offended over things such as these, that person has a very serious pride problem. They've got a pride problem. And if you have pride of this nature, then your soul is in danger even before you get mad and quit the church. You know, James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Matthew 23 and 12, the Lord said, Whosoever therefore shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, what type of attitude is a person exhibiting when they say, well, that was my seat. Who do they think they are sitting in my seat? That's my parking space. And I tell you what, if your pride and your ego are such that they will get hurt and cause you to quit the church, there has never been a more true proverb than this. Proverbs 16:18 says, Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, sometimes brethren will get offended because somebody acts ugly toward them. And many times it's not even intentional, like the preacher not speaking to me. Maybe the preacher was talking to somebody else and he didn't see you. It wasn't intentional, but they'll think, well, he slighted me. Sometimes people get upset because of miscommunication. They think that someone said something and that may not have been what the person meant at all. I have had that experience. I'll say, well, you know what so-and-so said to me? And then Sherry sometimes will say, well, maybe they meant this. And I'll think, well, maybe they did. You know, I just totally misinterpreted it. Sometimes people get upset because of joking. You know, I have learned you've got to be very careful in joking with people, because sometimes we as human beings don't use good judgment. And we will joke about things that we think are funny, and we'll hurt people's feelings in a very serious way. I found there's some type of joking I just don't do anymore, because you've got to be careful. You might offend somebody in a way that you really didn't intend to do. Now, somebody says, well, what about these folks who are intentionally ugly? And they'll cry out, you know, they did that on purpose. Brethren shouldn't act that way. And that's true. You know, we know the Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We know Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. But you know, the fact of the matter is, brethren don't always act the way brethren ought to act. And the question for me is, how am I going to handle that? When a brother in Christ mistreats me, how am I going to deal with that? I can wear my feelings on my shoulder, I can get mad and I can quit the church, or I can quit talking to that person, or even worse, I can go out and talk about them to everybody else, or else I can act like a Christian should act. You know, I've told you that, I might have told you this recently, I know I told it somewhere recently, when I was in Alabama one time, as I was shaking hands of brethren as they were leaving the building, I just preached that morning, and a man walked out and he shook my hand and he said, that sure was a good sermon today, which is very unusual for you. Now, what do you do in a situation like that? How do you deal with that? Did that hurt my feelings? Yeah, it hurt my feelings. Do you quit the church? How I deal with situations when somebody says something ugly to me says something about my Christianity. It says something about me. It says something about my spiritual maturity. And I need to ask myself, am I being too sensitive? Now, I could sit back and say, he was making a jab at me. Or I could sit back and say, well, he used poor judgment. I'm sure he did. Or I can say, he made a joke and he probably just let it get out of hand. He was trying to be funny. You see, there are different ways I can look at this thing. Am I being too sensitive? Now, he said this, that's a good sermon, which is unusual for you. Brethren, don't you know that the Lord had far more hurtful things than that said to him? What if the Lord had gotten mad and just quit his mission because he was offended by what people said? You know, I've oftentimes thought about what the Roman soldiers did to the Lord, where the Bible says they put a crown of thorns on his head and they put a reed in his hand and they put the robe on his back and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, Jesus, King of the Jews. And I have oftentimes thought of all the things he endured this may have been the hardest. Here is an individual, the creator of the universe, being mocked and spat upon. They're bowing before him, mocking him in this way. What if the Lord had gotten mad and just quit his mission? You and I would be lost because of it. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. From the scripture reading tonight, Matthew 15, I want us to take a lesson here from this Canaanitish woman. Matthew 15, we're going to begin in verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I want us to look at this, and I want us to draw some lessons. I want us to look at some tests this woman endured and think about this question, Am I too sensitive? Four tests for her. Here's the first test. Look at verse 22. This woman came to Jesus, and she cried, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The next verse says, But he answered her not a word. He just ignored her. He did not even acknowledge. He did not answer her. Now, does that seem cruel to you? She begs for help, but he doesn't even answer her. Now, was this not a time, if there ever was one, for somebody to get their feelings hurt? And some people would have turned away and said, Well, if that's the way you're going to act, I'll never ask you for anything again. That's the way some people would have dealt with it. What would most of us do if we went and asked the preacher a question or we asked the elder a question and they didn't even answer us? Just ignored us. Would it hurt our feelings? Would we quit the church? Some people would, and they would feel justified in doing it. But you see, this woman didn't let the silence of Christ stop her. Now, why is that? Is it because this was a woman who had no feelings? No, it wasn't that at all. You can tell she had deep feelings. She was concerned so about her daughter. It was because she needed something that only he could supply. You see, this is the important point. The life of her child was in danger. The daughter, her daughter was more important to her than her feelings. And so she didn't let that stop her. But you see, today, many people will quit the church because of their feelings, and they have something far more important than the life of a child hanging in the balance. They have their eternal soul hanging in the balance. But they'll ignore it, and they'll quit the church because of their feelings. Now, here's a second test. Many people wouldn't have passed the first test, but here's the second one. Look at verse 23. Jesus did not answer her, but then the disciples said, Send her away, for she cries after us. Now, how would you stand up to this one? The next time you came to services, the elder said, Send him away. He annoys us. And you know, one person might think, well, surely that would have been enough to make the woman quit. That would have been enough to make her leave. Was it? No, it wasn't. Because you see, her need was greater than her feelings. And many people today don't understand that. Why is it that people today will quit the church, the only institution wherein they can be saved because of hurt feelings? Are hurt feelings really worth trading your eternity for? Is it worth burning in hell's eternal flame because I have a wounded ego? Here's a third test. Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now how about that? How do you deal with being told the blessings I have, the blessings of the Lord are not for you? They're not for you. Now, would that get you ruffled? Would you leave because of that? Not this woman. Verse 25, she came, the text says, and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I wonder how many of us could worship under those circumstances. We might get mad, refuse to stay, we would leave, much less are we going to stay and worship. Here's the fourth test. She had one more test to pass. How sensitive was she? Verse 26, the text says, "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Oh, how about that? Now, how about that? I don't imagine that many of us would have hung in long enough to hear this statement. But how do you deal with that? Did he just equate me to the level of a dog? Is that what he said about me? Did he call me a dog? Some people would have thought that would justify just quitting the church and I can get to heaven without ever setting foot in that building again after what he said to me. But this woman simply said, "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Ignoring her feelings, laying aside any pride she might have had, she pressed on until she heard the blessed words of the Lord. And brethren, that's what I intend to do with my life. I intend to press on to that same goal, to hear the blessed words of the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I never intend to let my feelings or my pride stop me from hearing those words. And whatever somebody might say to me, it's not going to stop me from pressing on and hearing those words. And that's what each of us needs to resolve to do. I'm not going to let anything stop me from hearing those words. Now, how do I handle situations like this? Ask yourself, am I being too sensitive? Ask yourself that question. How do I deal with this? It's inevitable. We're going to deal with situations where we'll be offended. People are going to say things to us. That's the nature of life. How do I deal with it? Number one, I need to ask myself this question. Am I being too sensitive? And I need to think about Matthew 15 and this Canaanitish woman. You know, sometimes just reflecting on the situation makes all the difference in the world. I think about when I drove in that parking lot and saw somebody in my parking space, how I felt at first. And then I reflect on it. Think how silly that was. Sometimes we just need to stop and ask ourselves, am I being too sensitive? Number two, I want to suggest that we stop and consider our own pride. Is this a real problem or is this a pride problem? Remember Matthew 23 and 12, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." Number three, I want to suggest that you give your brother the benefit of the doubt. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 describes love for us. And it says, "Love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." But what's very interesting to me here is the phrase that says about love, it believes all things. What does that mean? The idea being expressed here is that love gives the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't mean love is foolish and just believes anything it's told. The idea is that love gives the benefit of the doubt. It looks for the best in people. And so, if a person says something and I'm not sure how they mean it, rather than taking it in the worst possible light, if I've got true Bible love, I'm going to take it in the best possible light. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. You see, my real problem might be that I'm not loving my brother the way I ought to love him. And I need to sit back and re-examine what love is. I need to give my brother the benefit of the doubt. 1 John 4 and 20 says, "He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" If I don't love my brother properly, I don't love the Lord. Number four, I want to suggest that we overlook poor judgment. Brethren, we need to remember we are human beings. And as human beings, we make mistakes. Sometimes I have poor judgment and say things that I ought not to say. I might have thought I was being funny and said something to hurt your feelings. Keep that in mind and remember that you do the same thing sometimes. And overlook human judgment, bad judgment errors. Now, if it's a sin, the Bible tells us to handle that. Tells us how to handle that. Matthew chapter 18, you go to your brother. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. If your brother sinned against you," the Bible says how to handle that. "And when you go to your brother and he repents, then forgive him." Be quick to forgive him. Luke 17 and 4, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." When your brother repents, don't harbor a grudge. Don't sit back and say, "Well, you know what he did to me. I just can't let that." If you knew the whole situation, there's no way you would forgive him. Forgive him. Forget it. Don't discuss the situation with anybody else. Don't sit back and harbor it in your heart. Forgive him. I also want to suggest, to help deal with these type situations, I need to learn to love my brother as myself. And I need to love the Lord with all of my heart. Matthew 23:37-39. If I could learn to love my brother as myself, I would never again see somebody quitting the church because of hurt feelings. Now, why do I say that? Because if I'm going to treat my brother the way I'm going to treat myself, and I'm going to love him as I love myself, I've never known anyone who's got mad and quit the church because they're mad at themselves. That doesn't happen that way. If I will give my brother that same love that I give myself, which is what the Bible expects me to do, then this problem would go away. Now, I want to change gears a little bit here and talk about something different for just a moment. Up to this point, we've been talking about people quitting the church. But that's not what all people do. Sometimes people get involved in what's called, what we might call church hopping. Church hopping is when somebody gets upset at the place where they're a member and they say, well, I'm just going to go to another congregation. Maybe they don't like the decision of the elders, and so rather than submitting to the authority of the elders, like Hebrews 13:17 says they ought to do, they just get mad and leave the congregation. Maybe they didn't get their way on some specific issue, and so they say, well, we're just going to leave. Or maybe the preacher preached on some particular sin that they happen to be engaged in, and they were outraged because of it. And so we're just going to leave. And oftentimes people like this have a history of being like this. I've known a lot of people through the years this way. In fact, just about every congregation I've been in, there was a group of people who were this way. They were church hoppers. And usually there are some people who would be there, but before they were here, they were at the other congregation across town for a little while, and before that they were at another congregation, and then before that they were at another place they had to drive a long way to, because they get mad and they leave, and they move to another congregation, and they exchange their old set of problems for a new set of problems. Now, I do want to say this. I want you to understand, when I'm talking about congregation hoppers, I am not talking about people leaving a congregation because of matters of the truth. Sometimes people have to leave a congregation because the preacher was preaching error and the elders would not stand for truth. That's not what I'm talking about. If the congregation doesn't teach the truth, then get out of there. I'm also not talking about people who have moved. Sometimes people will move. They go to a new congregation because distance is such a problem that they can't drive it anymore. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about people who just get their back up and they get their feelings hurt. They didn't get their way, and so they just leave and go somewhere else. In fact, I heard a little story this last week, read a little story that I think illustrates this point very well. It's kind of a funny story, but I think it makes the point well. The story tells about a man who was a survivor of a shipwreck. The shipwrecked, and this was the only survivor, and he swam to a nearby island, an uninhabited island, and he lived there for about 5 years. And finally, some sailors spotted the smoke from his campfire, and they came to the island to rescue him. And as they were leaving the island, one of the sailors looked back at the island, and he noticed three huts sitting on the shore. And so he asked the man, he said, I got to ask you, what are those three huts? And the man said, well, the first one is, that was my house. That's where I lived. And the sailor said, okay, that makes sense. And he said, well, what was the second one? He said, well, that's where I went to church. And he said, okay. He said, well, what was the third one? He said, well, that's where I used to go to church. Before somebody hurt my feelings and I got mad and left. Now, it's kind of a funny story, but you know, there's a lot of truth in it. It actually paints a pretty accurate picture of what many people are doing today. When a person gets his feelings hurt, he leaves for another congregation. A person gets offended and he leaves for another congregation. A person doesn't get his way and he leaves for another congregation. You know, instead of working through the difficulties, instead of being patient, instead of practicing forgiveness and brotherly love, people instead use their membership as a threat and a form of bribery to get their way. And when they don't get it, off they go to a new congregation to exchange their old set of problems for a new set of problems, and the process begins again. I read something this last week by one brother. I think he's very good about this. He said, I wonder if much of the church hopping we see today would cease if more people were concerned about what they can contribute to a congregation rather than focusing upon what a congregation can do for them. I believe we would all be better off if we would focus less on self and more on thee. And brethren, that's right. We need to think about the loyalty that we owe to the local congregation. We need to think about our brethren that depend on us there. We need to think about the fact that part of the workload in that local congregation is mine. We need to think about the fact that the local congregation depends on me numerically and financially. And we need to think about how badly it hurts my brethren when I just get mad and leave. Tonight, it would do us good to ask ourselves the question, not think about anybody else, but to ask ourselves the question, am I too sensitive? Some people are, and some people lose their souls because of it. You know, we tell the world that we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, but sometimes, many times, instead we're walking by our feelings. Tonight, what are you walking by? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Tonight, I want to suggest to you that the gospel system of faith tells us that if a man would be saved eternally, he must be a member of Christ's church. That involves being a part of a local congregation and actively working and participating to support the work of the Lord's church in that area. Tonight, are you a member of the church, the body of the saved, wherein all of the believers are located? If you're not, you need to know how to become one. The Bible teaches you do that by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of sins.